wonderful to be here. Let me say some thank you to start with for you for inviting us here.
We go everywhere that we're invited. We try to. And, you know, it's a joy when we saw that we were to come here because we know several of you folks, and we want to come and, as Paul says in Corinthians, give a report to the churches. That's not only a joy for us to do, but an obligation we have what Christ is doing around the world. We are to come back and give a report. And I said in the first service, that's what one of the many things I love about the Christian and Missionary Alliance is that we are called to have these mission conferences where we come back and give a report to the church. We need to let you know what's happening with your giving, your prayers to these folks you hear and read about from time to time. So I'm here to thank you for that opportunity to come and be with you. We thank Pastor Bob and Regina, friends of ours from years back who we just think so much of and enjoy being with them. You are blessed to have them. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. And, you know, just so wonderful. Pastor Bill Wood and Norma, friends of ours, again, from years back. Pastor Bill came to us in Rockwood. Pastor Bob said that I pastored the Rockwood Alliance Church for 24 years. Well, during that time, we started in a small church on Main Street, Rockwood. You know, Rockwood's a pretty big place. We have 975 people that live in Rockwood. So, we were there right on Main Street, and then we grew out of the building, and it was an old building, and we needed to move out. Everybody that said, if you want your church to grow, you got to go put a building out in the farmer's field there somewhere. So we were going to do that. I didn't know anything about that. I don't, I have a hard time pounding the nail without hitting my thumb. So they said, who to talk to? And someone said, you got to talk to Reverend Bill Wood. He built many churches. Go talk to him. So, we talked, and he was willing to come and be our consultant. We called Pastor Wood our consultant, and he was that. Not for just like 3 months, 6 months, years. He was with us at Rockwood, looking at many, many different pieces of land, building types, and giving us all kinds of Pastor Wood interviewed every person in our church. Now keep in mind, Ellen's laughing. We started out with 14 people in our church, okay, in Rockwood. And thanks to God's hand, working through the lives of many people and His Spirit flowing, by the time we were ready to move, we had almost 100 people, to move into a new building that we needed to grow the ministry. But at that time we had about 50 some people. So Pastor came over on a Saturday. He says, I have appointments. And I said, to talk to people. So good. He talked to every person in our church. And then he came and gave me a report about what they said. And I was scared at first, but many, many good people and encouraging words that he heard from them to give us the green light to go ahead and build a church. And I could spend my whole time here talking about how blessed we were to have Pastor with us and to guide us and help us and pray for us. And it came together for me at a very special place when our church was built, and he was able to come and preach from the pulpit of our new church building there in Rockwood, and such a wonderful thing. And I just thank God for Pastor Bill and Norma and what they've meant to Ellen and I personally and our ministry over the years. And I mentioned about your prayers. Some people ask, we said, we were praying for you. Would you tell us about that accident? Okay, Easter is just a few weeks gone by. On Easter last year, we had a glorious and wonderful sunrise service on the beach, right at the school there. Pastor Tom Cura, our chaplain at that school, he had a wonderful service, baptized 14 students from the DeLotte School. Just a wonderful time. Then we went after the service and went into the school cafeteria and had breakfast. It was a joyful time. Went back home, had fellowship. I think I got my Sunday afternoon nap. And then Ellen and I went, they said, let's go out for dinner on Easter. We went to a Moroccan restaurant not too far from our house that was there, and we said, let's go eat over there. We went and had dinner. And as we were coming back home that Easter evening, make a long story short, we got run over by a motorbike. Motorbikes are, I want to say, Malaysia's polluted with them. Some of you have been, our brother in the early service was in Saigon for a while. Some other people have been in some countries where traffic is crazy. And that's, to put it mildly, that's what the case is there. We got halfway across the street or three quarters, and the motorbike started coming. The one guy couldn't get stopped, so he slammed right into us. And it wasn't a pretty picture. Ellen got bruises, all bruised up over her body. I got knocked back and got some bumps and bruises. I got a concussion, and they took me to the hospital. And the people, how God orchestrated that, what do you want to say, recovery, was a wonderful and amazing thing. Bringing the right people there together at the right time, and His care in all of that situation. And the prayers of many people, because word got back to the Alliance churches here, and people were praying. I know people in your church were praying for us, and our recovery was complete and wonderful. And even though we had a few other accidents, bumps and bruises in our experience there in Malaysia, God saw us through in miraculous ways in all of it, and we are just so thankful. And it's a tribute to God's hand in our life through the prayers of folks like you, how He could use us. Spurgeon once said of his preaching, because he was a renowned preacher, evangelist, he said a rag doll could get up here and preach with the hundreds of people he had praying for that message and for him in the basement of the church. So even a person of my stature who did not have much expertise or ability or even willingness to go overseas and minister God's word to the students there at the Dalat school, through the prayers of folks like you, God can use that. Use me, use us at any time or stage in our life to glorify and honor Him. And we are so thankful for that and thankful for you. The scripture I have for you this morning is from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, Jesus is telling parables. Here He's telling about the goats on the left and the sheep on the right hand. And He said this, then the king will say to those on His right hand, come you blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Lord, we thank you for the richness in your word that you have for us. May it become a part of us as we represent you in our lives. I pray in Christ. Amen. One of the things outside our school ministry that we got involved with there in Penang, Malaysia, was the Agape Orphanage in Kulim, Malaysia. Now keep in mind, some of you may have heard this before, but some of you haven't. That's why I'm going to repeat it. Malaysia is a country that spiritual demographics of Malaysia are this. 65% Muslim. So that's a heavy influence in the country to begin with. 25% are Buddhist and Hindu. Less than 7% of the people in the country of Malaysia are Christians. So you see, you're in a very distinct minority. And I'm going to show you some pictures of the Agape Orphanage there and tell you what it's made up of and some of the things that we got involved with over there, and can be an area of prayer for you, if you would, for Pastor Lucas and his staff there at the Agape Orphanage that is a faith-based ministry, Christian ministry, that he has. Do you have them up there, the orphanage pictures? I think it says Kulim Orphanage on the table, on the title there of that folder, fellas. Jim probably still isn't even up there. Are you, Jim? Jim says, I see faces, but they don't look like Jim's up there. But I know they can do the same thing, even better. Yeah, Jim had it out there. I think he put it even on one of those icons on the computer screen, buddy. You can tell I'm real computer literate. But with guys like this, you can do so many things. Let me just tell you a little bit about the demographics of the orphanage at Kulim there. There are about 35 children, girls and boys, ages 8 to 16 or so when they graduate from high school. At the time we were there, there were three elderly senior citizens there that he was caring for that had physical challenges. There's a staff of two people other than pastor and his wife that care for the physical needs of these people at the orphanage. They have three buildings, a home for the boys, one for the girls, and one for pastor and his family. The rent for a month, they rent all three of these buildings. They don't have the finances to buy. They want in the future to buy property so they can build their own place that would be out of the town there and have some space for the children that they could use. But currently they can't. The rent is 1,200 ringgit a month. A ringgit is there's three ringgits to one U.S. dollar. So it's a little bit over $400, the rent for those three facilities per month. And as I said before, this is a faith-based ministry. He doesn't get any government subsidy, even government food or anything like that for the orphanage. It's all based on Christians and some other people who give so that it can function. And Pastor Lucas is a wonderful, warm, caring, giving, humble Christian man who's started this ministry and continues on with it faithfully every day. And we were just blessed to have the opportunity to go there. Our school, the Dalat School, has outreach into the community. As any school should, any Christian school should, any church should reach out into the community. It's called Care and Share. Anne Marie Paget heads that up. She's her and her husband Bob are from Canada, and they work there at the school and minister in the community. Anne Marie has this ministry, and Ellen and I wanted to get involved in it because there were people coming to the school from the orphanage, and they were going there to visit, and we went out there and got to meet Pastor and his family. And the young people are there at the orphanage and just see what was going on and see what we could do to help. You know, the call that we do have, the call that the scriptures give us. What can we do to the least of these? Are you having problems finding that, fellas? Do you have a question for me that I can't answer? The title of the folder is the, it's there. There it is. Bingo. Okay. Yeah, there it is. And that's Ellen out in front of the orphanage being greeted by some of the students. And you see, some white stuff there on top of a cover, that blue cover next. These fellows are sifting through rice. They're taking bugs out of the rice that's there before they cook it. And, people donate. They go on donations. And sometimes they'll donate their old rice to the orphanage. But they can use it because they can sift through, and the children sift through the rice, take out the bugs. They put those long red chili peppers in there. They say they keep the bugs out then so that they can store it and use it for future meals. You probably know rice is a real staple in Asian countries, so they use a lot of it, and they get a lot of that in terms of donations, but all of it isn't that good. Next. These are some of the young people that greeted us when they came. They were very friendly. Oh, they just couldn't, they were all smiles, and welcoming us as we came to the orphanage. They didn't know that we were bringing them gifts or anything for that matter, but it was wonderful greeting that we did have. Next. These are some of the boys. Among those boys, there are three Benjamins. I said, what's your name? Benjamin. What's your name? Benjamin. There was a Benjamin in the back. And I said, well, if I say Benjamin, I couldn't go wrong in any way. I would get help from one of those fellows. But friendly boys, they all didn't speak real good English, but enough that we could communicate with them and share with them. Next. As I said, they were there gladly working on the weekend. I think this was a Saturday. They were going through the rice, cleaning it out. Next. This is Pastor Lucas, his wife, and their two daughters, whom I told you about a little bit. I've said this in many of the churches we were in. I would just be delighted sometime to have Pastor Lucas come over here, and I could take him, and you could hear him speak of his heart for these children, these lost children in Malaysia, that their parents cast them off. So not all of them don't come from a background where their parents couldn't afford to keep them. Some of them couldn't, but some of them just gave up their children for whatever reasons, and Pastor is there. He doesn't turn away anyone. That's his policy. The only reason he has a waiting list is he can only fit so many in to the girls and the boys' housing units that he has. He has a heart, a love for people that he wants to share the grace of Jesus Christ with. You see it in him as he speaks. A humble, wonderful, loving man, and his wife there that is such a big part of the ministry and supports him in that. Next. These are the children at mealtime. They sit on the floor for meals, and they eat all of their meals in this fashion. There's a plate prepared for them. It's rice is one of the things. Usually they have vegetables, and hopefully they will have some sort of meat, a piece of fish, chicken or pork, for at least one of their meals. So they do get adequate nutrition, but again, it's a stretch to all the things that they're dependent upon the donations of people who give to the orphanage. Next. Where they're sitting around eating is also the floor in which they will sleep. They don't have bedrooms as such. In the corner, there's a stack of mats. I was going to say each child has a mat, but every child doesn't have a mat. Before we were leaving, they were trying to get a push on to get donations so that at least each child would have a mat to sleep on. After they clean up from the evening meal, they get their mats out, getting ready for bed, and they sleep on the mats. In the morning when they wake up, before breakfast, they stack the mats up, and they are there for the rest of the day. It's a simple lifestyle that they do have, but one that they are thankful for, and having a loving home there. Next. You can see against the wall, that's the kitchen. That's the extent of the kitchen that is there. Really, from our standpoint, there's a hot plate. And there's a kettle that they boil water in for soup or other things that they do need. They would have a little, as you would call it, why do I keep forgetting that, Ella? Toaster oven. Yeah, you folks know what a toaster oven is. That's what they would use to most of their baking or any of their baking that they would do. A very simple, not an institutional kitchen in any way, that they have to make the meals for all of these folks. I would say they would feed over 50 people for each one of the meals there at the orphanage. Next. This is Ellen and the other people that came from the school distributing gifts that we brought at the end of November, getting close to Christmas. The Christian school in Somerset wanted to help in some way. They said, what can we do? We talked to the people that went to the orphanage. They said, you could get them towels. The young people need towels. Something very basic that we would take for granted. We all have a closet or a cupboard or something in our homes where we would have a stack of towels, wouldn't we? These children just wanted one good towel. Theirs are paper thin. They're like thin cloth that they would have over there. So the Christian school sent over towels for all the children there at the orphanage. And they sent over a little bag of hard candy also. And this was a very special day for these children when they received a bag of candy and a towel. Next. You can see the smiles on their faces. Anne Marie's taking pictures in the background as Ellen and the others are distributing these things. Next. 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 The children were so thankful. And in the next picture or so, you're going to see thank you cards that they made, and they wrote out as best they could and put pictures on them. And we collected all of those thank you cards. We took some pictures like we have here. We made some hard copies, put them in a big envelope, sent them back to the Christian school in Somerset, and said how thankful and appreciative the children in Malaysia were for their gift, this simple gift that made a difference. But what does Jesus say about these gifts? He says, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. The very things that Jesus talked about, Pastor Lucas in his ministry is doing. And I guess the challenge we have before us today is, what am I doing? Every time we have one of these experiences, God gives us this opportunity, I think, what am I doing? You know the saying that we have in the Alliance, and many of you know that, he says, pray, give, go. You know, I had a person come up in our church several years ago, and he said, Pastor, I give to missions. Seriously. I pray hard for missionaries. I have those prayer cards, and I take that seriously. I can't go, but I do those other two. And that's where we miss the point. And anybody that's been anywhere else will tell you that. We all go. We may not go 10,000 miles away or the other side of our country even, but we go out the door every day. To the workplace, to schools, to our community, to the grocery store, to doctor's appointments, to the places we go. We go. And Jesus calls us to take His love and to minister to these people. You see, our society is one where we think someone's there to take care of them. Someone's there to take care of those people in the nursing home. There are paid chaplains at our state prisons that are there to take care of their spiritual needs. There are food banks for the homeless and the hungry in our communities. Well, that's true as our world sees it. But that's not how Jesus sees it, is it? He says, you and me are called to do the least, to the least of these. Those who are hurting. What am I doing? You may take food to the food pantry, and that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing. You may even take a trip and go with a group or something that's going down to minister to the homeless in Pittsburgh or some other community near you. How about going to a nursing home in your community? You know, the majority of people in the nursing home get no visitors. No family is there. They either don't visit or they can't visit. And they need that. They need you and I to come in there and give them a smiling face and say, how are you today? And talk to them and listen to them and pray with them. A simple thing, but a call that God has for us to do this. And when I say a call, it's not something like, oh, we can take it or leave it. You know, like the majority of the people that aren't in church today, which the majority of the people in your community and all of our communities in the United States are not in church. Thank God you're here. It's good that you're here in the presence of God and one another to worship and listen to His voice to you. His word makes it very clear. The king answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, one, he said, the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. He goes on to say, to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for you, for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you did not give me food. I was thirsty, you did not give me drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, this is the second time Jesus said this, you did it to me. People of God don't have a choice. And we can say, I talk about two words, obligation, opportunity, a third word, and a blessing. Those of you who've done it, and I know you do, some of you do it on a regular basis, you go into a nursing home and visit people once a week, a couple times a month, whatever it is, you know the blessing you receive coming out of there. A greater blessing than maybe you have imparted. But we don't have a choice in that, what Jesus is saying. He said, go and do that. If you don't do it, you're no part of me, he said. You said, I can't relate to those people. Well, maybe you have the gift of finances. Maybe you can give to a place that provides food for homeless people. Or to provide clothing for people who are in a country. There's many missionaries in Haiti who are collecting money for shoes, for children who have no shoes, clothing for them. And the list goes on. We don't have to search for them. The salvation is in every one of our communities, the Salvation Army. Are we tagged into them? We visited a nursing home for the elderly in Penang that another pastor ran, and it was another faith-based ministry. And you know, you say, I say all this to say, you know, what is God calling us to do? The calling is upon each one of us, friends, and it is a joy to do this. To look how we can minister His love and His word to needy people. We know what it's like to be needy. The song people sing, People Need the Lord. It's a wonderful song. The choir is beautifully singing this morning. They sang it. We didn't plan this ahead of time. They sang, to the least of these, they said. Oh, how it rings true. It's not just a Christmas thing. Oh, we give at Christmas time. We give out some money. We may give to needy, hurting, food pantry, whatever. The Christian has the call each day. What's my plan this week for what God has me to do? This is just one of the things that we were privileged to be a part of in Malaysia. We talked in Sunday school about the Dalat School Ministry and how wonderful that is. Reaching the next generation with the hope in God through Jesus Christ. And here in our community, being able to reach people who feel left out, who feel homeless, who feel their parents abandoned them. God the Father abandons no one, we know that. As we continue in worship, may we draw near to Him. And as we draw near to Him, draw near to His call that He has for each one of us.